Welcome into DC On Screen, your guide to the DC Universe on film and television. This is episode 286. It is our DC TV news episode. If the news is out, we are likely to talk about it, so beware of spoilers. I'm your host, David C. Robertson. This is my co-host, Jason Goss.
Hello.
We're going to jump right in and start talking about some Young Justice. Greg Wiseman has a message for the Young Justice fans. He says, Brandon Vietti and I are hard at work on season 3 of the Young Justice television series. But A, we just got started. And 2, I really hope he meant B. And 2,
I do that just making, for fun.
Yeah. Making animated episodes takes a long time.
Yep.
10 months minimum. Minimum, he wrote. So if you want more new Young Justice stories sooner, the answer is pretty simple. Artist Christopher Jones and I are chomping at the bit to make more Young Justice stories in comic book form. Producing a comic book takes considerably less time than producing television episodes, so if we got a green light on a comic book series now, you could theoretically have new stories in a matter of months.
I can wait.
He did want to talk about, though, the pre-existing Young Justice comics. He says, we should buy Young Justice comics to prove to DC that we want more. But he does say issues 0 through 25 of our companion Young Justice comic have been collected into 4 trade paperbacks. And all of these stories are canon to the series with timestamps and everything. In fact, stuff in season 3 will play off of stuff from seasons 1 and 2 and from the comics. He says the best way to show DC that you want more comics is to purchase these stories electronically on the DC app, on Comixology, or on iTunes, because they're out of print, and if you buy them from the stores, they're secondhand sales, and they won't even see that.
Fair enough.
I'm an old school guy, and I love having actual hard copies to hold in my hand. Unfortunately, the books are all out of print, so if you do find hard copies online or in a store, those are secondary sales, and DC won't know about them. So you need to buy them electronically. Put money in DC's pocket, and they'll want more of that green. Buy a lot of Young Justice comics, and it just follows that they'll order up some Young Justice comics. So there you go, guys.
Yeah, straightforward, practical.
Yeah. Over to Gotham, Cameron Monaghan has teased his full Joker costume. It looks like he's not going to be wearing a skin face like like we thought.
Right.
I don't know what he was showing us earlier, but this looks like he's got the white face. It looks like he's got the red lips. He's wearing a white shirt and a purple vest. He looks pretty wicked.
He's coming back in the season, the mid-season premiere, right?
I don't even know. Maybe. Probably.
Episode 212 is what I saw. I think I saw it listed as the mid-season premiere there.
212?
I'm sorry. Whatever season we're on, 12.
Well, I think it was. Yeah, it was. Yeah, that would be 3. That would be 312. Yeah.
I thought we covered 11 on the last on the way out.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, there's actually a promo for his re-entry already out. You know, like Gotham does, a little 30-second hype reel, yeah. Basically.
Mm-hmm. So Roland Smoker, a listener of ours, good guy.
What up, Roland?
What up, y'all? He wrote us a message that said, it's been a few days since I watched the mid-season finales for Gotham and Arrow, and I cannot shake the thought of how similar their cliffhangers were. The main protagonist shoots and kills his kills ex-fiance's current partner after being told not to kill. I'm not complaining. I liked both episodes, and it's not a problem in my mind that they were so similar. Just thought the similarity was interesting and something I'd like to hear your thoughts on. If you've already talked about it, I must have missed it, and I apologize. I don't think we talked about that.
No, I don't think we related those. If they had done it within like CW verse, I would have had a problem with it. Unless they were making that a point. Just the matter, like if it happened on Arrow and the Flash, and they had been leading up to something that made that make sense, that'd be great.
Well, see, I had a problem when they did a similar thing. Last season, or maybe it was even earlier this year, I can't remember, but there was a whole bit where on Gotham they were running around killing mayoral candidates.
Yeah, yeah.
At the same time, they were doing the same bit on Arrow, and it was all like mayor campaigning on both shows,
right?
And like assassins who were trying to take mayoral candidates out, and I was just like, oh my lord, this is awful. Stop.
I know. It's not something that we can hold against either of them. They don't they're not really accountable to one another.
Yeah,
it's just the fact that we watch all this shit, and that's on us.
Yeah, but I think that it was so different. Like Arrow, Oliver wasn't trying to kill his ex-fiance's current partner. Jim probably wanted to, but he was trying to stop. You know, it was the
he definitely didn't.
The partners had they had different stories. On Gotham, the partner was a bad guy at this point. On, you know, Arrow, he was dressed like a bad guy, but not really a bad guy. He was right. A victim.
Yeah, so. But the similarities are there, too, and it's worth noting.
Absolutely.
It's a good catch. I didn't catch it.
Yeah, I didn't catch it. I feel foolish for not catching it, but at the same time,
how dare
I watch
we?
All this stuff, and, you know, it gets a little bit overwhelming, I think, sometimes for me.
Right.
But, yeah, that was a good catch, Roland. I you know, I don't... I'm not
also,
angry
we,
about it or
we've been so busy trying either. To catch shit that's happening just like in the crossover and post crossover episodes. It didn't even occur to me to relate anything that's happening on Fox.
Yeah, yeah. It just like it's like the CW shows have had this the theme running throughout the entire season on all the shows. There are some things you can't fix,
right?
And just catching all that and looking into a lot of the similar themes that they're playing with over on those shows. And I just feel like Gotham is in its own little bubble, so I just sort of naturally don't look at both
in that
way. Even though apparently they did, like there was like a piece of stock footage or something in Gotham that had Queen Consolidated in the skyline, just because it was the same. It was still WB, so
yeah,
they
yeah,
had,
they
had that stock laying around.
Some piece of press came out later, and they kind of said, "Yeah, we just didn't catch it. Sorry, we were using." We have this hard drive full of stuff we can pull from. Didn't realize it was Queen. Sorry, guys. Didn't mean to confuse you.
Yeah.
Like basically, so anyway. A guy in charge of backgrounds saw some stuff. Whatever. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. So over to Supergirl. Andrew Kreisberg was talking to Entertainment Weekly, and they asked if Mon-El was actually going to be the real Daxamite Prince. Because if you recall, Mon-El said that he was a guard, and that the Daxamite Prince like put him in the shuttle,
right?
And saved him, and it's a theory floating around out there that Mon-El is actually the Prince. And they asked Andrew Kreisberg if that was true, and he said no comment. He also said secrets are never healthy in a relationship, and obviously Mon-El is holding on to something. We got a little taste that his life on Daxam might not be as over as we think from the glimpse of the spacefarers who are on the hunt for him. So it will definitely play a big part in their relationship, Mon-El and Kara's relationship moving forward. There
also,
was also an interview with...
Given Mon-El's character, have we considered the idea that he just maybe, you know, punched the prince in the jaw and took his space pod?
I think that would be a little too damning.
But he is... I mean, when he shows up on this show, he is kind of a selfish jackass.
Uh-huh.
It wouldn't fit his character... It wouldn't, you know, wreck his character. I mean, for him to have made an extremely selfish move early on, and then maybe that's why the giant metal face guys are coming.
Well, he is a, you know, him being a selfish jackass also fits in with him being the prince. He's basically Ollie Queen before he got stranded.
Right, right.
So, maybe.
Could be, easily.
Neil Patrick Harris was being interviewed, and it wasn't for this, it wasn't for Supergirl, but they wanted to talk about Supergirl. They asked him about it, about whether or not he was going to come on as the Music Meister. And he says, I've heard about it, but that's as much as it's been. And then he says something, but he's like, I don't know, I did Music Meister on The Brave and the Bold, what, like 15 years ago? Which was not 15 years ago, but...
Yeah, he's...
he did it in 2008. He said it was a fun episode, it was a good thing to do. He wears a big zoot suit, from what I remember. And the song was fun to sing, so I don't know. We'll see. He also said he heard that Joss was involved, but he didn't know anything about it. But he might be lying. He always looks like he's kind of lying to me.
A little bit.
He's always got something like he's always got like a little glimmer in his eye, like I know something you don't know. But then again, maybe he doesn't. Maybe he's not even involved, and that's just my hope.
I just would love to see his live action take on Music Meister so much.
Mm-hmm.
I would be perfectly happy to fool myself that he's lying.
That's what I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
I want Joss Whedon directing, and I want him playing Music Meister.
And if we get halfway there, great.
Mm-hmm. That too. Over on The Flash, Gypsy has been cast. Cynthia Reynolds is going to be playing, Cynthia Reynolds, a.k.a. Gypsy, is going to be played by Sleepy Hollow actress Jessica Camacho. I never got to see her on that show. I stopped watching Sleepy Hollow probably two episodes into season two. One or two episodes into season two, I just couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah, we were really enjoying joking about how the they always had like one running bit about him being an anachronism. But then it just started to run out of steam. I watched it out of habit for a while, just something thrown in the background, and then I think I made it into season three.
Mm-hmm.
And just, yeah.
I think the last thing I actually remember enjoying on that show was him scoffing at 12% sales tax on a muffin.
Donut.
Was it a donut?
It was a donut.
He was like, the founding fathers were trying to get away from taxes. They would be outraged.
Yeah. It's something like, we died for less than this. my friends died for less than this tax.
Yeah. We revolted over like a 2% sales tax or something.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, the show just wasn't good enough to keep me interested. It went downhill quickly. At the beginning of the show, it seemed so batshit crazy that anything could happen. But anyway, yeah, never got to her, so I don't know how good of an actress she is. I heard that they very, very much retooled the show, which I don't blame them for.
Yep.
Over to Arrow, Wendy Miracle was asked about the Russian vodka.
Oh.
Being foreshadowing.
Good.
Her response was, were we too obvious with that? She said, I would call that foreshadowing more than anything else. More like we're just saying she's not, you know, she's on that Oliver in Russia train for sure. Like, she's not that she's going to be a bad guy necessarily, but just that she's still thinking about Oliver being in Russia.
Yeah, I liked our take on it, that it's an inside joke for her.
Uh-huh.
I don't know that it's our take, but that's the version we discussed, and I liked it.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much all it is. So Stephen Amell used Batman Begins to illustrate the Susan Williams story on Arrow. He says, Susan appears to be up to no good, but in reality, she's just following a very interesting story. I mean, the mayor of the town where she's a reporter was clearly not on an island for 5 consecutive years, which, by the way, I think it's about time we did that. I always think back to the first Nolan Batman, where Ra's al Ghul says to him, the world is too small a place for someone like Bruce Wayne to disappear. Even if Oliver wasn't as famous, and he wasn't, he did perish in a very famous incident in our story. I always thought that when he was in Hong Kong, that someone would stop him and be like, hey, you look like Oliver Queen, but it didn't happen. I like that he points out that Oliver isn't as famous as Bruce Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he's got an inferiority complex.
It is nice.
Yeah. So Mark Guggenheim for Legends of Tomorrow posted a picture of the title of episode 213. Most people are thinking this means dinosaurs are going to be around. We've already seen dinosaurs once on the show. I don't know why it's a big deal, but the title is Land of the Lost.
Hmm.
I just hope we don't see Slee Stacks anywhere. Please, let's not do an actual crossover with Land of the Lost.
I didn't see Land of the Lost. I just noticed that title somewhere. Are we going to get dinosaurs on Legend of Tomorrow? We did. Ray fought one? What's happening?
Right.
A very bushy Ray fought a dinosaur.
Yes. So DC Superhero Girls has released episode 225, Odd Couple. It's going to be Harley Quinn, it is Harley Quinn and Lady Shiva paired up as partners for their advanced stakeout project. And they're going to have to look past their differences to catch Cheshire.
Mm.
DCSuperheroGirls.com. It's a pretty delightful little show.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on to video games, Suicide Squad, that has actually never been released. They never actually announced it. It has been canceled, they're saying. Warner Brothers Montreal has canceled the Suicide Squad video game in favor of a Batman game starring Damian Wayne.
I would be equally excited about both those things if you told me they were happening.
Sure.
So I have exactly zero emotion right now.
Yeah. Well, apparently it had been kind of floating around that it was going to be coming out, and then we got word that it was a co-op game, and then that it failed to impress Warner Brothers management during the green light meetings, and I guess it just didn't ever make it anywhere further than that. They chose to go with the Batman game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're them, you're just betting on what you know makes money.
Yeah. I mean, Suicide Squad would make money. It's just that the engine was shit. You know, they're not going to... Hopefully, they wouldn't go through with it.
Yeah, hopefully.
And, you know, co-op games are tricky anyway, a lot of times. Remember that awful Star Trek game we played?
I do.
It's just...
It was weird.
Glitchy, buggy piece of shit.
I mean, I remember you, like, trying to trick an alien into killing you so I could respawn you.
Or, like, when we would beam into an area for a new level and one of us would just, like, start glitching out, turn upside down, and start flying around the ceiling.
Yeah. Just, with, like, by our feet.
Our legs would be in the ceiling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was fucked up, man. It was genuinely fucked up.
Thanks. Thanks, J.J. Abrams' Star Trek game that was supposed to be in between the first and second movies.
Yeah.
In Star Trek Into Darkness, when he said, when McCoy goes, "I once delivered a Gorn baby," I went, "Ha ha, yeah, because that happened in that shitty game we played."
Right.
Thanks for reminding me of that, Carl Urban.
That we tortured ourselves with just to say we had done it.
Yeah. Anyway. So, Batman the Telltale Series, Episode 5, City of Light, has been released.
And it is on, like,
good reviews.
Every ad on every website I go to. I'm aware that this is being tailored for me, but oh my god, is it like this for everyone else?
I've been seeing it everywhere too. It's a little bit like the Ron Swanson bit from Parks and Rec, where he's like, "Why is there an ad on my computer screen that says my name? Why does it know that I want to buy this?" And they kind of explain it to him, and he's like, "That's awful. That's an invasion of privacy. You think that's bad? Go look, type in your address into Google Earth." And he does so, and the next shot is him just carrying his computer out to the garbage and throwing it in. Yeah.
Sounds accurate. Actually, I my worst problem with the AdSense methodology is it bases stuff on things you shop for, right? I mean, if I had to Amazon or had to a specific site, it'll sometimes tag me, and the combination of circumstances will tell the internet gods and the AdSense gods, "Hey, he was shopping for this recently." Well, but then it'll be a few days after I've shopped for that, and I'll start seeing like a month's worth of ads for that kind of item, and I keep thinking, "Fuckers, I already bought that. I went shopping. I found a product. Yeah. I purchased it. I'm fucking done here."
I was actually listening to a podcast. I want to say it was the social media marketing podcast with Michael Stelzner, but I'm not sure. But I heard something about there are hints that there might be a new algorithm kind of coming out that lets you actually say, "I already bought this item."
And that would be fantastic. Just
stops pestering you.
That would be fantastic. I feel like it's the internet equivalent of saying, I already have a girlfriend. Sorry, please stop. Please get off my ass.
Right. The internet equivalent of wearing a wedding ring out to the bar.
Yeah. But if that's...
Or is that supposed to attract people? I don't know.
I ran into a girl, it was a friend of mine a long time ago, that it was me and her, and she was one of like a group of people I hung out with regularly. And she had been divorced about 9 months ago, 9 months before. We had this conversation, and, you know, she had taken a few months and then, you know, kind of taken her time by herself and hadn't seen her out much. And then she had been going out more recently and kind of wanted to meet some people. And she, you know, she was at that stage where she wanted to meet some people again.
Mm-hmm.
And she, at some point, you know, we found ourselves talking, and she kind of asked me, like, "Why are all the, I keep meeting, like, people and they seem cool, but then they end up being really shitty guys. Like, what's going on?" And I kind of, like, point at her hand and said, "So, you know, you've still got your wedding ring on, right?" I was like, "Well, yeah, but it's just kind of a habit." I was like, "So you've created this conundrum where now you're just out, and anyone who approaches you and is flirting with you is now flirting with someone who looks like they have a wedding ring on. Like, what are you expecting?" "Yeah, I didn't think about that." I was like, "Yeah, it's no big deal to you because you're over it. For these guys, how are they not noticing it?" Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, she took it off, and about 3 months later, another friend of ours that had feelings for her but, like, hadn't wanted to say anything because he wasn't a shitty guy, like, kind of gave her space and, you know, waited a little while after she finally took the ring off and stuff, and yeah, they're married now.
Yeah, that's a nice story.
Yeah, you know, setting yourself up for the right thing, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
And, you know, showing the internet your wedding ring.
All right, so... I think I'm going to call this episode. Here's the thing. We have a review from Christopher White. He's finishing up his series of reviews for Batman the Telltale series. for whatever reason, for the first time, he decided to get super spoilery on it. So what we're going to do is we're going to actually wait until after the end credits, and then we're going to play it. Does that sound good?
Yeah. And I'll go back and listen to this episode. Well, I'll just save the file because we have it in production.
Mm-hmm.
Or just call Chris and ask him what the hell he thought after I finally get to play this game.
But yeah, so, and I think that's what we're going to do whenever something isn't officially released now. Because a couple weeks ago, there was something that I wanted to talk about, even though it had just been, like, leaked, not officially released. And we were like, oh, we got to jump ahead a couple of minutes or whatever. And that's just a pain in the ass. So
we anything have done that pretty well with that, though. Stick it after. In the past, we've been like, all right, skip ahead 60 seconds. Mm-hmm. And have actually stayed, like, we're not professional enough to be doing this well. We've just kind of gotten lucky and been like, at 58 seconds, been like, all right, we should change subjects. Go.
Right. But instead of that, I think I'd just rather just wait until after the credits. So I think that's what we're going to do from now on.
I can dig it.
You guys don't want to hear it. Don't listen after the credits. So anyway, we are DC On Screen. You can find every episode at DCOnScreen.com. Proud members of the Giant Size Team Up Network, GiantSizeTeamUp.com. Go subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, whatever, what have you. Dude, come on. Give us a 5-star written review if you enjoy the show. I don't want you to do it and lie, you know? That sucks. But if you do, you get entered into a contest. 1 in 10 will win a trade paperback, a Blu-ray, or DVD, DC, of course, valued at $15 or less.
As we've said, you'd be surprised what you can get for $15 or less.
Absolutely. Crazy amounts of things.
Of great items.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Actually, you know what? I was just looking around on Amazon. Blu-ray of Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice Ultimate Edition, $14.99.
Nice. So if you're one of the people who hasn't seen that precious 30 minutes, it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Won't cost you much on our side at least.
That's right. We will be coming back on probably Thursday morning or sometime this week with a review of Justice League Action. I've had a chance to watch it. Jason hasn't. We're going to be hanging out on Wednesday night anyway, so we'll record something and put it out for you guys later on in the week. Don't think we're going to do the whole series on a weekly basis, but we're going to talk about the pilot and the overall tone of the show, and we hope you'll join us for that, and then we'll have news again, because as we've stated, the shows are on break right now.
Mm-hmm.
So until that time, thank you for listening, and keep some DC on your screen.
So I just finished episode 5 of the Batman Telltale series, City of Light. Such a satisfying conclusion. I mean, the story takes you all over the place, and they do it so well. You go from the Vale's house to the Batcave to, you know, a press meeting with Commissioner Gordon or acting Commissioner Gordon. And at one point, Alfred gets put in jeopardy. You think that he may or may not die. I won't spoil if he does or not. But the story continues to go to some really dark places. You find out that, and this is spoiler territory, guys, so skip ahead a couple minutes if you don't want to hear it anymore, but Vicki Vale is not Vicki Vale at all. She's actually born Victoria Arkham and was adopted by the Vales, who were some really deeply disturbing people who put poor Vicki in a hole and threw away the hole. And there was a bunch of neglect and maybe even some torture going on. Definitely some psychological torture. It was really messed up what they did to that poor girl. So you can kind of understand why she grew up to be the way that she was. But it was so cool that Telltale was able to take a character that we know like that and turn her into this really good villain, especially so early in Batman's career, so engaging, such a thrilling story. Not nearly as egregious as what Rocksteady decided to do with Jason Todd in the Arkham Knight. You know, good on you, Telltale, for that. And the only other issue I had with the game, which a good friend of mine, Dave, was kind enough to point out that I was kind of in the wrong for, but there's a choice in episode 2 that you have to make on whether to save Harvey or save Catwoman. And if you opt to save Catwoman, then Harvey becomes Two-Face. But if you opt to save Harvey, he still ends up becoming Two-Face. He just doesn't look like Two-Face. So that seemed a little odd to me and everything, but there is plenty of precedence for it. So you can go back and look it up. I mean, as far back as BTAS and even before. So that actually doesn't bother me quite as much. Overall, it was great. I've never really been a huge fan of Telltale game series, you know, like Game of Thrones, Walking Dead, even though I love those properties as well. But overall, this was pretty amazing. And I think if you're a Batman fan, there's no reason not to play it because it's really good. Thank you, Jason. Thank you, David. And keep up the great work, guys.